Jocelyn, is that you?
Yes. I took your advice, Moira.
And what advice was that?
Yes, Jocelyn. What advice did I impart that translated into this daring new coiffure?
Schitt's Creek fans, welcome to another episode of Schitt's and Giggles. We're a Schitt's Creek podcast where we're going through the entire series in chronological order, and every 2 weeks we talk about another episode. I'm one of your two hosts. My name is Paul McCambridge, and with me, as always, is my lovely wife, Carla. Carla, how are you?
Good.
Great.
Good. Ready for another round of talking about Schitt's Creek.
Okay. Well, that's good.
Ready to rock on, should I say?
Okay. Yeah. Is there an exclamation point at the end of that?
No, I don't want to rock onto a hairband. I don't like hairbands.
No, I know. It's okay. I mean,
I'm just
you...
saying. So, no, there's no exclamation point on my end.
All right. It's much like Moira. You probably wouldn't go. You weren't planning.
No, I probably wouldn't go.
I mean, you'd go, but you wouldn't, like... Oh, no. My microphone's all...
Wonky.
It is wonky. All right. Sorry. What a great way to start. Okay.
No, I would be like Moira. I would not go.
Right.
Yeah.
Or you'd just go to the casino. But even that
doesn't seem... I don't even
like casinos. No.
That doesn't sound fun either.
You just sit on the bus?
Probably.
Hang out with the driver for a little bit,
I don't
think I guess.
I'd get on the bus.
Oh, wow, man.
I'd stay home.
All
I'd
right.
skip this event.
Okay. You wouldn't even go to support your friend who's having a real hard time?
Well, yeah, I probably would.
Yeah.
I would begrudgingly go and have a semi-okay time.
Okay. It might be better than you think. Once you get there...
Maybe because I'd see the doodlebops instead. Would that make it better? It might. I'm not really sure.
I don't
know which is better, poison or the doodlebops. I'm not sure.
Well, then you're not going to like the choice I give you at the end of this.
Uh-oh. It's very stressful.
Anyway, I think we should first remind our listeners to rate and review the show wherever you get it, wherever you get your podcasts, if you can figure out how to do that. I know on some platforms it's easier than others. And we now have a Patreon page at patreon.com/shitsandgiggles. And let's shout out three patrons.
What? I was expecting we weren't shouting out any patrons.
Listen, they're coming fast and furious.
Well, how sweet is that?
And that there's a handful of people. So,
a handful. I can count on one hand how many people.
I think it's gone onto two hands by this time. I know. I know.
That's impressive. Well, last time I thought there was two. So if there's three this time, I'm still on one hand.
Well, I'm kind of like, I'm not going to. Do it all at once.
Oh, gotcha.
I mean, that would be overwhelming.
So is there like hundreds of people and you're just queuing it in small groups of twos and threes?
There's at least 300 people. Okay. So I figure, you know, at the very last episode of our podcast, we'll have to talk about 200 plus.
Gotcha. Okay.
But I would like to thank Iva and Stephanie, who donated at the Eat Glass level. Which is $2.
Wow.
So $2 a month. Aww. Thank you very much.
That's very sweet.
And Mina Ann, who donated at the Lick Rust level. Nice. So if people are interested, there are three levels. One is $1 a month, then $2 a month, then $5 a month. So it's completely up to you. If you do not wish to give us money, I understand.
We encourage you not
give us any money at all. But if you want
like we
to,
said, regardless of whether we get money or not, we'll continue bringing this fun-filled podcast to you every other week.
Yeah, no, this is no bizarre threat like we're gonna stop doing this or anything.
And even if we did, I'm sure you could go on with your daily lives
and
not really be affected or impacted.
No, I would assume barely anyone would notice.
Yeah, they'd be like, oh, okay.
I'd be the only one saddened by that because I'd just be sitting in the closet all alone wondering.
I would not come in here.
No, I know that.
Yeah.
And also, guys, we got some Canadian snacks
sent to
us by a listener as well.
I know. That was really sweet. Very kind.
So, I mean, if you want to send us stuff, You're going to have to reach out and convince us that you're not crazy if you want our address. But it was really nice. Mm-hmm. And we got, I mean, some of the stuff is food in the States.
Yeah, but like, not much of it. Like the Kit Kat.
The Kit Kat.
Right.
But again.
But the packaging even looked a little different, which was fun.
Plus, I'm a sucker. Listen, you put French writing on stuff as an alternate for the English. That's great.
Well, one of our children, too, is a huge Kit Kat fan.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And I don't even think she's eaten it yet. Has she eaten it? Yeah, one of our kiddos.
One of them.
Okay.
I think there were two sent to us. Yes.
One of our kids. I really feel like our kids have dug into these snacks.
Oh, no.
Quite a bit.
Right.
Like, by the time I got home, numerous items were already gone.
Half of it was gone.
Yes.
There were things with, like,
children
frozen characters inside
dug
of them.
In.
Yeah.
Yes.
So that was definitely all gone. We still have a few things sitting around. I like how there's these things called Cheesies, mm-hmm. which are just Cheetos, like the crunchy Cheetos. Mm-hmm. But they do taste different.
Hmm.
They taste better.
Okay.
Like, they taste less artificial, which sounds strange.
No, I'm sure.
It's probably still
Canadian
quite artificial.
Food's probably better than what we're making here in America.
Listen, it's all churned out by, I think, Nestle anyway, so who knows?
Frito-Lay.
But I kind of enjoyed there's the coffee crisp, which are just like big, fat Kit Kats, but they kind of have
a coffee taste
to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so thank you so much for that.
That was really nice.
Yes.
Someday we'll have to travel to Canada. Well, you've been there. I haven't.
I have been there.
Right.
It's been a very long time.
Right. So someday we need to go there. We need to make it a point. So Canadian listeners should tell us where to go when we're planning our next Canadian vacation. They should give us travel tips.
Yeah. East Coast, West Coast.
Right.
Like Vancouver.
We almost
versus
did Vancouver
Toronto.
A couple years ago, but our trip. Because we were in the northwestern part of the United States, and our trip just did not allow another stop in another place.
Right.
But
I think we drove through a town called Vancouver, but it was on the U.S. side.
Wow, I don't.
And I was very
that.
Confused when that happened.
Okay.
I was like, we crossed no border whatsoever.
Yeah. But that would be fun.
Yeah, let us know where to go.
Totally.
I remember once I looked at a job. Mm-hmm. In Calgary, and I was very excited about it. It was some art, I'm going to say the Art Institute of Calgary.
Okay, I'm sure that exists.
I'm sure it does. And I was like, this is great. I might apply to this. And you immediately went on to the Wikipedia page for Calgary and looked at the temperatures and said, we are not going anywhere near this place.
Canadian listeners, when you're telling us about places to visit, please find the warm weather locations.
Well, I don't think we're going to go in, like, December.
Well, yeah. But still.
All right.
Make sure we'll have some nice, lovely seasonal temperatures. Seasonal to warm.
Okay.
Not,
I don't know what seasonal
not
means.
Not like I'm bringing my skis. Because I don't ski and I don't really like the cold.
All right.
Okay.
Maybe
so
we're not going to Canada.
We're starting a travel podcast here. I think we need to circle back around.
Right. Yes.
To rock on.
Rock on. Yes.
Yeah.
Season 5, episode 6, Rock On! ! The original air date was February 12th of 2019, directed by Lori Lind and written by David West Reed. So a couple of people that we are quite familiar with were behind this episode.
Yes.
Let's go and let's start this.
Get our VCRs out and get ready to roll.
I have to say, there is something about the way that this might be one of the best openings of the entire series.
Wow.
I'm not trying to overstate this. This video that we watch is amazing.
It's funny.
And since they have, you know how they did those little like webisodes and you can find them? I want a whole series of Rose video like
employee
training videos.
Yeah.
This is really super fun.
Yeah. Workplace etiquette.
Yeah.
It's movie day. It's movie day in the office.
Yeah, Roland's very excited about this. I mean, jokingly so.
Yeah.
But yeah, Johnny has Stevie and Roland sitting on the little couch.
Mm-hmm.
And he has a stack of VHS tapes on top of this TV. And they're going to watch an employee training video. Now, this video is important for the plot that is going to happen in this episode.
Right.
But why is he showing them this in the first place?
He just wants to make sure. Well, I don't know. He's on to Roland being kind of inappropriate, so maybe he felt that, that you would think, be helpful.
Okay, all right. I mean, there was like
he's just trying to exercise his like CEO boss chops, I think.
It just seems very specific. Plus, since this is video number 3, and he has the other two there, which makes me think, do they just watch these every now and then?
Maybe. It's like a staff meeting. I think he's trying to really run this like he would have run Rose Video.
No, like, I get it. I was just like, is there some like off-camera incident that happened? But I don't know. There was a prostitution ring being run out of their motel for a hot minute, makes me think maybe that's what started it off. Maybe it took him this long to find those VHS tapes.
I do love, though, that those VHS tapes were... They made it out of that house.
Yeah.
Like, out of all the things they were trying to bring with them, the VHS tapes from Rose Video made it out.
Yeah, Johnny was like, listen, these cannot be confiscated.
Yeah, nobody wanted to confiscate them. They didn't even have anything to play them on. I'm not surprised.
No.
That he found a VCR.
No. It's got to be upstairs and, you know, a pile of whatever Stevie's aunt left.
Right, yeah.
So let's talk about this video because
a young Moira Rose.
Yes, a young Moira Rose is
searching for videos.
She's searching for videos for a customer. Like these are two employees here. So she's searching for videos, and then this other dude, Emilio, comes over to help her out, and helping her out to find this video by putting his hand on her butt.
Yeah. Well, he leans down. He needed to support himself so he didn't fall over.
Right. Yes. I guess. Very good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So wait, let's talk about Emilio real quick. Emilio is played by Adam Christie.
He's credited as Emilio.
Yes.
Good. Well, sometimes we've talked about how, you know, some people were like, oh my gosh, they didn't even get, you know, they're just surprised it wasn't just video store employee. I mean, obviously she referenced him by name in the video, which, of course, is the big thing, I think. Yeah, but sometimes I feel like, you know, we're surprised at how some people have not gotten a named credit or a more specific credit.
Yeah, but he's a stand-up comedian.
Okay.
And a writer for the Baroness von Sketch Show, which we've talked about a lot.
Yeah.
He also wrote 50 episodes of a skit show called This Hour Has 22 Minutes. I looked at this. It's been on for a very long time. It seems to be like, and our Canadian listeners can correct me, it almost seems like a Daily Show type thing. Like they make fun of news and politics and stuff like that. So he was a writer for that.
Okay.
And he's been in some other shows that we've mentioned, like The Expanse and What We Do in the Shadows.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. So this, putting your hand on an employee's butt is not...
an inappropriate physical touch.
Right, yeah.
It is. It's not an inappropriate physical touch. It is.
Okay, it's not. Yeah. All right, okay, I got it.
Yes.
And I have to say, I love it when they...
rewind.
Right, because everything is, of course, VHS, video movie terms.
Yeah.
So the fact that... it's a pause first and then a rewind.
Yeah.
And how they do the rewinding, like they just walk backwards.
Yeah, it's really cute.
It's really good.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't look that silly, which is weird. Like this looks super silly.
Yeah.
But the way they reverse actually looks really good. I'm kind of impressed with that.
Yes. So then we see it in an appropriate way of two employees to work. Well, almost appropriate, I should say.
It's pretty good. It's an improvement.
Until the end, after they find the video, then it gets totally inappropriate. Right. But, yeah, so it starts out okay, where he comes in and helps her find the best body swaps from Sunrise Bay. Did she say season 23?
Yes.
Right? Yeah. Uh-huh. So that's what the customer was looking for. And
that's a lot of body swaps in a single season.
If there's a whole VHS about it.
Yeah, enough to make an entire video.
Yeah. Well.
But I guess if it's a storyline that continues for multiple episodes, they have all of that on there.
Yeah. But yeah, so they find the correct video that they need. Mm-hmm. And then Emilio just decides to invite his fellow employee for an outside of work dinner at his place. After.
Yes. And it's really great how Moira ends with fast forward.
Yeah.
It's really wonderful because that's the end of the training video. Mm-hmm. And I like how Johnny's like, well, most of that, I think, still kind of applies.
Still applies. Yeah. And Stevie's like, yeah, it's pretty timeless. Yeah.
Super fun. Again, yeah.
I'm surprised in a way that you're like really highlighting this as one of your faves.
I think it's my fave because
your fave.
It's my fave because yeah. I totally forgot about this. Oh, okay. I didn't remember this at all.
Okay.
I remembered everything else about the episode. Mm-hmm. Like, how can you forget that poison shirt that she's wearing? Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I forgot this was part of it, so I really, really enjoyed it.
All right. Yeah. Well, good. I'm glad it was a great memory and a good start for you for this episode.
Okay. So now let's go to Town Hall.
Yes.
Because the Jazzagals have rapt practice? Are starting rehearsal?
I'm not really sure. They made mention of Jocelyn. But, I mean, obviously she wasn't there, but they made mention of her and her solo, right?
No, they made mention of Twyla's solo.
Oh, I thought they made mention of Jocelyn not doing it. I don't know. And I feel like I'm saying I thought they made mention of this. We had a conversation. We usually don't ever talk about what we think about the episodes as we're watching.
We usually don't talk.
Yeah, we just sit there.
About anything and, if we're not sitting in this closet.
Right. But one thing we did mention is we're feeling like, and we don't know what the difference is or really if it's truly a difference or maybe we're just not on our games anymore with this. But it is so difficult to take notes. Things are moving so fast, and it seems like the dialogue is, like, quicker and punchier and snappier. Yep. And, I mean, it always has been, but, like, we paused this episode I don't know how many times. Probably, like, 3 times, and at points I was like, you have to rewind, because I just could not get everything. So I do. I feel like lately when we're watching things, I don't know if it really is a difference or if it's just...
No. I like how you insinuated that we were ever on our game with this. We're not on our game anymore.
Well, we try.
No, you're right.
We put up a good act.
And I really, like you said, we sort of questioned, is it us? Like, are we just not able to keep up?
Are we getting older? I mean, how long have we been doing this?
We're all getting older.
Yeah, right.
We're not like Benjamin buttoning our way through this.
No.
But yeah, it's really...
It's
the
been
past
difficult,
few episodes,
we've
been having
episodes.
A real hard time, and
dialogue
it does
is
seem
just
to come
quick.
A mile a minute.
And there's name drop. There's a ton of name drops in this episode, and I felt like there were points I'm writing something, and they are. It felt like two minutes later, and I'm like, I'm still trying to write what they said, this name they said a couple minutes ago.
Right.
So yeah, it was. So I feel like sometimes I'm saying. Is that what she said? Or when I said season 23, right? Because it's like I heard it, but just...
It's fine. We're both doing this. We will pick it up or totally miss stuff. Either way.
No. we'll either do a really good job or kind of a really crummy job.
Okay. Yeah. Those are our two options. Nothing in between.
Nope.
So basically, here's the gist of what's happening. There was a huge plan made in advance that all the Jazza girls...
To the point they had a bus
chartered a bus?
From the Schitt's Creek High School.
Yes.
Right. Yeah, but all the Jazza gals were very excited to go to a Poison concert at the local casino. I don't know how local it is.
I don't know.
Reference it. They didn't even give a name for it, did they?
They didn't.
It should be like the Elmdale... Casino, or something.
I mean,
like,
as is sort of referenced later, there must be a lot of casinos in the area.
Clearly for Twyla, there's been a lot in her lifetime.
Yeah, but this concert has been canceled. And
I think Ronnie kind of shares that it's been canceled and that Jocelyn is going to be super disappointed.
Right,
she's been looking forward to this. We know that she is struggling to find time for herself and time to do things with the new baby. So, yeah, they're kind of dreading the fact that they're going to need to break this news to her.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And Jocelyn comes in. She has not heard the news.
No.
She's so jazzed.
She is ready for nothing but a good time.
Yep. She's got a Poison shirt on.
A little mini skirt.
Like a Madonna belt, let's call that thing, that she's wearing.
Yeah.
She is...
She's dressed the part of, I guess, every Poison fan.
Right.
I don't know.
Which is very strange. Like, I'm not sure how time is working here. Because she's ready to, I guess, get on this bus immediately. And then later we cut and everyone is kind of dispersed.
Like, it looks like it's dark, right?
No, it's not dark.
Not when they're getting on the bus. You're right. It's dark later. Yeah.
Yeah. But basically we find out that the concert's been canceled because the casino, I guess, double booked.
Yes.
The Doodle Bops.
Yes.
With Poison. And I guess then bumped Poison?
Yeah.
Do you have a Doodle Bugs concert in a casino? Doesn't it seem like Poison is more...
Doodle Bops should be at, like... Yeah, they should be at a family kind of venue. That's like a children's show.
Right.
Is Doodle Bops Canadian?
Yeah, Doodle Bops. Yeah, okay. I did some Doodle Bops research.
Okay. Yeah. I kind of assumed that it was, but yeah. I'll admit, like, I remember vaguely, like, our kids never watched that. That was before our children.
Yeah, because Doodle Bops, I looked it up. Doodle Bops was on the air between 2003 and 2005.
Okay.
Which...
Were they, like, the cute little, like, they had, like, blue hair and pink hair? Am I thinking of the right group?
Yes, but they were, like, all blue. Like,
yes.
Blue
okay.
face
That's
paint
who I was, yes, that's
everything.
Who I was imagining.
Yeah, there were three of them.
Oh, yeah, no, I don't know what casino you'd be going to and taking your children to see a Doodle Bops concert. I'm sure that's what makes this even more fun.
Right.
That, yeah, they bumped Poison.
But it seems so strange, like, off the air in 05, let's fast forward to 2019, and they're performing concerts?
Well, they're at a casino. They're not at a huge venue.
Well, they're at
They have to make their money somehow.
Listen, they're at a venue that can support either them or Poison. So I don't know if this is speaking worse about the state
know.
Of
Does
Poison.
Does Poison still go on tour? I don't know. Like I said, I am certainly not into rock bands.
I'm going to say they do.
Whatever year Poison's from. The 80s? 90s?
Yeah, 80s.
Right?
Yeah.
No,
Poison's
not,
more an 80s thing.
Not an 80s rock band kind of person.
That's fine. You said that at the top.
I know.
You're really against Poison... And
I just don't like that genre of music. That's all.
I understand. That's fine.
And I just don't like their big hair. Bothers me. It does.
Boy, we're all right.
Yeah.
So
but anyway. Yeah. Jocelyn's sad because Ricky Rocket was going to talk dirty.
She's
not anymore.
She is devastated by this.
She really is. Like, and I do feel bad for her. I guess if I was her friend, I would feel bad and I would go along.
Yeah. Because even Moira's like, listen, the concert thing, the Poison thing isn't important. She's just looking for a way out of her house.
Right.
Which is kind of right, but also that is when she shows up decked out head to toe and seems to be a huge Poison fan.
Oh, yeah.
So this was more than just an excuse to get out of the house.
Oh, definitely.
I like how Twyla offers, like, we could just go to the cafe.
And she said, oh, does the cafe have a smoke machine everything else? And she's like, well, I could have George burn something on the grill.
Yep.
That was,
It is a really fun.
Twyla,
like,
always finds, like, the positive side of everything.
Yeah.
You know, we always say that about her.
But just her making fun of Twyla, I thought was great. Because she really is, oh, do they have a smoke machine at the cafe?
Yeah. Like,
it's a really funny thing.
Yeah.
And Twyla does just kind of get beat up sometimes by a lot of people. Moira already made fun of Twyla's solo at the beginning of this. So, you know, but Moira, I like how Moira's like, when she's talking about going on this, she says, if I'm holding the truth stick, I wasn't even going to go to the show.
I wasn't going to go. Right. Yeah.
So I guess she was just going to hang out at the casino.
Yeah, I was never into the concert.
Yeah.
But she was like, why don't we just still go to the casino? To which they're even surprised about that. Because Ronnie's like, I never would have pegged you for someone who would want to even go to and entertain the idea of being at a casino.
Right. But if you're going to a casino with Condoleezza Rice
and Sharon Stone. Right. Apparently Moira frequented casinos with her buddies.
In Ho Chi Minh City.
Yeah.
I mean, it's...
Right.
So, it's not Elmdale, but I guess close enough.
Yeah.
So, she really does convince them, let's just go to this casino.
And they already had a reservation? I don't remember if they said a reservation or not, but they say reservation. They did, right? Yeah. Okay, at Bucky's Fried Chicken House.
That doesn't seem like the type of place you need a reservation
for. No, like, it seems...
When we see that Ronnie just is holding a bucket of chicken
it
later...
It seems like a KFC, kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah, but maybe it's a higher-end KFC.
Right, yeah.
I don't know. Is it a real place? Probably not. Is there a real Bucky's Fried Chicken?
Now, I was too busy doing Doodle Bops research.
I should have been on the Bucky's Fried Chicken House. Yeah.
Twyla also mentions that she has been banned from almost all of the casinos for being an unaccompanied minor.
Yeah.
Except for this casino, I guess. Which I would think, once you reach the age of... How old do you have to be? Oh, wait. Hold on. Now we're getting...
Oh.
Right. See, this is...
Is that different?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, it was... Listen, you said I've been to Canada. I only went to Canada...
To go to a
because casino? You could drink at 18 in Canada.
Okay. Is it
you
still?
Couldn't... I think it's probably still the case.
Okay.
They seem much more responsible than us.
Yeah. Let's be honest.
Right.
They don't have the drama in Canada that we have here.
Right. I would figure if you reach 18, how are you still banned for being an unaccompanied minor? I think Twyla just hasn't tested this before.
I don't know. So wait. But in the U.S., you have to be, what is it, 21?
21.
To be able, right? Yes. I mean, to go in a casino, obviously, I know the drinking age, but I don't go to casinos a whole lot.
Sure.
And I mean, I do remember going growing up, like we went on a vacation and we were close to Atlantic City.
Right.
And I remember we were young enough at that point as high schoolers that we could not go in to the casino space.
You vacationed close to Atlantic City?
There are beaches in New Jersey. And we went to Atlantic City for like one or two nights.
Okay.
With my friend's family. It's not like just she and I were there and we went to a casino that we couldn't get into.
No, that's fine.
No, yeah. So, yeah, but I remember, you know, but then I couldn't, I was like, wait a minute, was it 18 or is it 21? Because by the next time we were at a casino, we were in Vegas and we were clearly of age. So it wasn't an issue.
Okay. All right. Wow, we're really like...
It's a glimpse into my life.
We're really... You talked about off our game. We're barely into this episode.
All right, let's get...
We're a half hour into our recording. Not that I mind. It's fine.
All right. Well, people might mind. So let's go to Rose Apothecary quick.
Hurry. This is fun because they're starting a website. Yeah. I guess they didn't have a website until this point.
Well, now that they have a brand consultant. In Alexis.
Right.
They clearly can do more.
It is funny that she's simply consulting what template to use.
Right. Yeah.
It's really fun because she and David are interacting over this whole website ordeal.
Mm-hmm. And Patrick is picking up guys.
Right. Patrick's picking up guys.
Yeah.
And David notices this from
across
the room.
Well, Alexis says, I think that guy's flirting with your boyfriend.
Right. Yeah.
And yeah. And then they're kind of watching this, and he's like, oh, yeah, I think so. And Alexa says, oh, poor thing. And then she says, no, I mean you, David.
It's very adorable.
Because this person that Patrick is flirting with comes over and gets, or that's flirting with Patrick, I guess.
Yeah.
I'm not
picking up that Patrick's the one starting this.
Yeah, listen, I misspoke.
I'm assuming when Patrick's at work,
he's all business.
It's all business.
Yeah.
Unless he's making out with David in the back room.
Well, right. Yeah. So
this guy walks over.
He needs to get a pencil and paper so that he can slip his number to Patrick.
I do like how David asks him if he's going to be doing a little bit of journaling.
Journaling. And he kind of gives his number to Patrick and then pretty much leaves after that. Like he doesn't really linger around.
Yeah, but his name is Ken.
His name is Ken, and he's a hunk with a teeny weeny polo.
I love
that Alexis referenced him that way. And then, of course, David asked if he was getting a banana bread recipe or writing down directions for him.
Mm-hmm. So Ken is played by Aldrin Bundock.
Aldrin, I love that name.
He's originally from the Philippines, but he is a Canadian actor who's appeared in many of
our regular
shows. The Firm TV series,
mm-hmm.
Flashpoint. Warehouse 13, Lost Girl, Dark Matter, Killjoys, The Odd Squad, and most recently Star Trek Discovery.
Okay.
Which I guess is a Star Trek show.
All right. I would assume.
It is fun when he leaves and then Patrick comes back over. Mm-hmm. I like how he and Alexis high five. Mm-hmm. Because this whole thing is basically Patrick is like the fact that this guy is flirting with Patrick is very different, mm-hmm. you know, because even later David references that even this whole guy thing mm-hmm. for Patrick is new for totally him. New. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. And you can see like clearly David is trying to kind of build himself up like, oh, there was a lady in here last week and she gave me her number. And
right.
like there, you know, he's sort of you can tell he's. He's, like, jealous
it's
about
weird.
This, but is trying to play it off, of course, that he's not jealous about, like, it.
But
I think.
But I don't even think he's trying to play later, it off, because he's like, well, if I was the one that was over there, I'm sure Ken would be flirting with me.
Right,
like,
yeah.
It is a weird, I don't even know if it's jealousy, or if it's just, David has to turn everything back to himself.
Yeah.
Like, look at me, pay attention
right,
to me.
Right.
I'm important here.
Yeah.
Because it is kind of just David or Patrick being like, well, it's no big deal. Like, mm-hmm. it's interesting and it's different and it's never happened to me before. So just kind of let me have this.
Yeah.
It's not like I'm going to do anything
right.
or pursue
yeah.
this. Like, let me just have this.
Yeah.
And David can't let him have a moment.
Right. Yeah. To have some interest paid to him. Yeah.
Right.
No, that makes sense.
Yeah. But I like how the scene ends basically with Patrick being like, well, I'm just going to keep this number in my pocket
yeah.
right now
yeah.
and walk away from all of this.
Oh, and the number that David got from the lady who was shopping was because she was waiting for the soap that
yes.
she wanted to come back into
mm-hmm.
stock.
Yeah. I do like how he says, oh, you mean that lady who has a husband and kids? And I do like how David's like, well, that never stopped me before. So now let's go back to the motel office. We are spending so much time in this motel office.
Yeah, we are.
And I really kind of like that. Like,
yeah.
I like that this show really does things where they take breaks from certain storylines
mm-hmm.
and sometimes certain characters.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I like the fact that Ted is on the phone for this and
it's mentioning,
it.
Yeah,
yes,
and it's mentioned.
Because the whole Ted and David thing from last episode, like, that was fun enough,
mm-hmm.
and now we can just sort of drop it,
mm-hmm.
but still make reference to Ted. And I also feel like what's happening here with David and Patrick is almost like a holdover from what happened last episode.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So I like the fact that we're doing more with this employee
yeah.
stuff.
Yes.
So Johnny walks in, and this is where you were like, I don't know what's happening. What's going on? Who's Ivy? But he's talking about...
I didn't even hear the Ivy reference because I was trying to write so much stuff. We really should
right.
watch these twice, once to take notes and once to just like
yeah.
pick up, like you said last time, pick up those little details that
mm-hmm.
we miss in our franticness
right.
Of trying to write. But yeah, he kind of comes in, he calls to Stevie.
Yes.
And just kind of calls out to her, and clearly she's in the back.
Yeah.
And she kind of says, okay, just a minute,
mm-hmm.
you know.
But he's very excited about
yes.
having come from the nursery. And
yeah.
he's talking about Ivy on the building and stuff
mm-hmm.
like that.
Yeah.
I'd kind of like to see Ivy on the building. I don't know. I think it would look nice.
Yeah.
Oh.
Maybe.
No.
I'm not sure.
Disagreement here. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know.
But he's so excited, he just has to walk into the back room.
Right.
And he interrupts her taking photos of herself.
Salacious photos.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
But she was just taking, well, I mean, her side of it is personal photos for her doctor.
It is. This doctor
yeah.
bit is fun because she drops it immediately.
Mm-hmm.
But just the idea that she's like, I was taking photos for my doctor.
Right.
And just Johnny's reaction of, what an age we live in.
Right.
So I guess
you can
just
take photos
text
and
those
send them
to your
yeah.
doctor.
Yeah. Yeah. Because she, of course, is like, I thought you were running errands.
Right.
I thought no one would be here. And that's when he says, you know, I was at the nursery. There were no cars on the way home.
Right.
You know, so basically he was able to, I guess, make a quick trip. So she was not expecting him back as soon as he arrived.
Yeah. And this is where, you know, immediately she's like,
admits.
Well, I've been seeing someone, blah, blah, blah. And
yeah, long distance.
Yes. And I like how Johnny's thing is like, oh, it's a shame we didn't watch the second tape.
The next video.
The next one that dealt with Polaroids.
Yeah. And Stevie the whole time is just horrified. Like, she has her face in her hands and she's super embarrassed. And she kind of just wants the conversation to end, but it just sort of continues. And then finally she's like, I'm just going to take a walk.
Yep.
And he said, that sounds like a great idea. Go clear your head.
Yes.
And then he said, and maybe in the future, if you need to do things, you should find a room that has a door that can be locked. And yeah, so it's just super, just it's
very awkward.
And,
you know, she's trying to juggle a lot of things. She's trying to juggle this relationship. Mm-hmm. She can't, you know, she's also working the desk.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying that.
She doesn't have a lot of private time.
Right,
maybe.
Exactly.
Sure.
And plus, Roland and Johnny were gone.
Yeah. Yeah.
What are you going to do?
I don't know. Go in the back room and take topless photos. That's what you're going to do.
Right.
Yeah.
So now let's go back to the bus because
we're right outside the town hall. And the school bus is there.
Everyone makes such a huge deal that Moira showed up dressed up in a new wig. Like, this is a multiple daily occurrence in their lives, seeing her constantly changed.
Right. Yeah.
And they.
Was it a cheer for Moira or was it a cheer for Jocelyn?
Well, Moira makes it about her.
Well, but she says, you know, about you cheering for Jocelyn, who's right behind me.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either.
I don't know who they're cheering for. It's also funny that Moira is the only one who changed. None of those Jazzy gals changed at all.
Mm.
They're all still wearing the same thing.
Well, we don't remember. We said Jocelyn showed up and we were really a little bit unsure as to how much time was passing.
Right, yes. Well, because you know. Jocelyn's like, well, I could have changed, but if my babysitter can wear a crop top the size of a bib, I can show up like this to go to a casino.
But it's the same thing she had on.
Yes.
Yeah.
And even I think Ronnie even is like, dress code be damned. And I'm like, Ronnie, you're wearing the same flannel shirt that you were wearing before.
Yeah.
So they decide it's time to go. Let's get on this bus. And I guess Moira was in charge of stuff for the ride.
I guess. Yeah. Essentials. She brought along essentials.
Yes.
For a casino.
Which are
things that she would have brought when she went with Condi and Sharon Stone.
Yes. Military grade caffeine pills.
Yeah.
One of the things.
Mm-hmm.
Oxygen drops.
Yeah.
Don't know what that is.
I don't know.
And something else. I didn't write everything. Did you? Okay. There's a lot.
Yeah.
Again, a lot going on.
Yeah.
But that's okay because Jocelyn has the pot brownies.
Magic
and
brownies.
Champagne.
And champagne. Yeah,
magic brownies.
Yeah, and as they're getting on, she calls out, if the bus is rocking, don't come a-knocking. Like, I kind of...
Go ahead. Go ahead. Listen, she's not wearing a cat sweater, but go ahead.
Jocelyn drove me a little crazy in this episode. Like, I was torn between feeling bad for her and feeling, like, super just annoyed with her.
I
know,
like,
she was excited for a night out, and she and Moira have a lovely heart to heart that we'll talk a little bit that we'll talk about in just a little bit as we get there. But like, oh, she just was obnoxious. If I was on that bus with her, I would have wanted to punch her out. I don't normally say that, but just the yelling and I don't know. I wouldn't be able to get on board with that.
It's a lot. I think
she was a lot.
I think I feel more bad for her than anything else.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I think if she was wearing a kitty cat sweatshirt, it would be too tough for me to take. But just the fact that it's something different.
Yeah.
I didn't mind her in this episode. I also feel like Jocelyn never gets an episode.
Mm-hmm, true.
So she's going to do...
Yeah.
She's hamming this up. Like, this is all over the top.
And maybe it wouldn't have felt so over the top if, like, other people were as excited as she was. Maybe that's why it's extra bothering me. Like, I think if the energy for all of them was, like, that high, I think that would have made a difference. But she just seems like the person, like, when you go out and you're doing something, the person that is just, like, the obnoxious one that you're like, oh, my gosh, she's embarrassing to be with. Which I guess is what she's supposed to be. But, yeah, like, I just don't feel like anybody else was feeding into that energy at all. And I think that's why it just seemed even more irritating.
Yeah, I don't think this Jazzy Gals group was all that excited about Poison in the first place. And now that's even been eliminated.
Yeah.
And now it's just a trip to the casino.
Yeah.
Which I don't want to say is a terrible thing. But, you get this weird collection of jazzy gals together.
Yeah, they're like a very a varied group. Yeah, like I saw, like, you know, Gwen was getting on the bus later and stuff. But we know Gwen. I don't know. She's a little.
I'm sure Gwen is a great time at a casino.
Probably.
I'm gonna say.
Or a Poison concert, which, you know.
Yeah, no.
Or a Doodle Bops concert. I mean, even that, maybe. But, yeah. And I don't know.
It also seems like at this casino, they just fan out. And it's just like, go do whatever you want. Right. We're no longer a group.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm being harsh. I shouldn't be so harsh to Jocelyn. Shouldn't say I want to punch her out. But I do feel like
if she was on that.
I shouldn't, though. That's mean. I feel like if she was on that bus with me, though, I would have had a hard time handling her.
That sounds right.
I mean, she does mellow out a little bit then because of her magic brownies. So then maybe it would be okay.
I don't even know how much she's mellowing out. Well, she mellows out at the casino. But even afterwards with that haircut. I don't know. She's off the rails.
Yeah, but she's not quite. She's off the rails, but I think she's not quite as loud and like crazy
she's
that way.
She's trying to have a good time.
I know.
She needs to get out of that house.
Well,
away from that maniac she's married to.
Oh my gosh, she's not that bad. Oh, right. Well, let's get back to Rose Apothecary. There's more time to talk about Jocelyn. They are on the bus and on their way. But we are back at the apothecary, still talking about this phone number.
Listen, it is the issue of the day at the apothecary. There's nothing else going on. And David, see, now David has a plan. And it's a weird plan. This is very strange.
I don't know why you would kiss.
I understand these two are from very different backgrounds. And they have very different experiences. Mm-hmm. But David is like, you should totally call that Ken dude and go out with him.
Right. Yeah, because he was like, oh, do you still have the phone number? Are you keeping it close? And I think it's Patrick's kind of like, no, I'm not using it. I'm in a committed relationship.
Yeah.
But yeah, David, you know, kind of says, no, I think you should call him. It's important for you to, like, basically have experiences and interactions with other guys.
So is this...
And other relationships almost. Because Patrick's like, well, I've been with Rachel and a handful of other girls. And David's like, we've all been with a handful of other girls, which I thought was funny. But yeah, it's almost like David's saying, like, I don't want you to regret not connecting with other guys 5 years down the line.
Right. So this is my question. Is that true? Do you think that's true? Do you think that's really what he's thinking? Do you think that this is a way because of what happened with Ted? Who knows how long ago, like, this is a way for him to be like, why don't you go?
Yeah.
Maybe it won't be such a big deal what happened with Ted.
Yeah.
Or do you think he mentions it later. Uh-huh. But do you think this is like a self-sabotage thing? Like, this is his
out
in this relationship, strangely enough.
I don't know. We know David is so insecure and always so it seems like. If you are that person, why would you want to encourage somebody? Because, you know, he makes reference to, like, I know he'll realize how good he has it with me. But if you're an insecure person, you wouldn't think somebody's going to realize that. So I don't know what his motivation is here.
I don't know what his thinking, where he thinks this is going to go. I mean, he says as much, like, best case and worst case scenario, you know how great you have it with me.
Mm-hmm.
But why would you think that? Especially if you're insecure. If anything, this sounds like the most secure person having this plan.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Which seems very out of character.
But maybe it does seem out of character with him, but maybe in his growth.
Sure.
But I don't feel like we necessarily see it and feel that he's confident in his relationship. Like, I haven't seen enough of a shift to feel that way.
Right.
And, you know, but I was going to say, like, in his growth, is he feeling like...
I don't know.
Yeah, like, this is a great relationship and we're solid and this is good for him to kind of explore, but he's definitely going to come back to me.
I don't feel like I'm getting that vibe enough. If anything, I feel like this is my chance to get out of this relationship. Like,
yeah, but I don't feel like he wants out of the relationship.
No, I don't. I really don't know.
I mean, maybe he's just testing too to see, like, is he really
right?
Is he really, like, into me? Is this like a real relationship? And, you know, he's used to people, you know, if he would suggest this to other people, they would then drop him.
Yeah.
And, you know, maybe this is just what he.
But it also seems like a crazy test. Like,
oh, of course,
as the
is.
Other person in this relationship, how are you looking at this?
Well, right. Like, I would look at it like, well, they don't care about me because they're trying to convince me to go.
100%.
Like, go, you know, like meet up with someone else.
So there's a lot happening here, and we'll get more into it. But the other thing that's happening here is that there's a weird creeper hanging around in the background of this scene. And I remember watching, I don't know if you remember this, when we watched
and we're like, who's that weird guy in the background? Why is he there? We noticed that.
I could not take my eyes off this guy because he's so.
Very present in the scene.
And I remember,
like, normally you might catch somebody in the background as the camera moves or something like that. You would see that there's people in the store.
There's extras wandering around the show all the time.
But this was blatantly obvious that this guy was there for a purpose.
Yes. And I remember thinking, maybe I said this at the time, I was thinking, is this a fan that won a contest? And it's just
like
you get to hang out in the background of a scene. You can act as awkward as you want.
Yeah,
and we just won't cut it.
Super unnatural. It didn't look like anything else that they've done. So clearly they've wanted us to notice.
Even after he leaves and closes the door behind him, he's still just standing at the door for a moment. It's so strange. That will pay off later.
Oh, totally.
But right now, it's the most bizarre, extra acting you could ever imagine.
Yeah, and I'm also very curious, too, how many people in their first watch, like, we picked up on that in our first watch. But I feel like when you see other people reference him, a lot of people are like, oh, my gosh, I never noticed that. And I just always think, like, how could you not notice? Like, they made it blatantly
so
obvious
awkward.
That he was there in that scene. Like, there's got to be some reason that it was filmed that
way.
But
he's also out of focus. Mm-hmm. I mean, the background is blurred out. But just the fact that he, like, appears over David's shoulder and, like, almost stares at the camera.
And is, like, standing in the frame their whole conversation. And he's a distraction.
He's very distracting.
So that's why right away we picked up, we're like, this is really odd. Yes. Why is he there? What's going on?
It's
like, he's
got to
be there for a reason. Yeah. You know, and of course we realized it later. But it does seem like people didn't necessarily pick up on that
It looks like the way those kids acted when they were stealing stuff.
I do remember thinking, like, is he taking stuff?
Or,
there was just certainly a focus on him, 100%. Although they were having a pretty intimate, like, serious kind of conversation.
Right. Now let's go back to the motel office.
Yeah.
And first of all, hey, guess what? Johnny and Stevie maybe don't have this conversation in front of Roland.
In front of Roland, right? Yeah,
because it really is them, or I don't know who initiates it.
Maybe I think Stevie's kind of saying, like, "Can we just please put what happened behind us and just go on with our business and our day?"
Yeah. And Roland is just standing there going, "Hey, what happened?
What happened?
Tell me."
Right.
And of course, Stevie comes right out with it and is like, Johnny saw me topless.
Mr. Rose. She doesn't call him Johnny. Rose saw me topless.
Right.
And then, of course, Roland is like, oh, my God. You know, he goes crazy for that news. And they're like, it was an accident.
Yeah.
Roland he doesn't know what to say except maybe a limerick.
I love it when he's like, I don't even know what to say. Well, I do know one thing to say, but it's more of a limerick. And
it's
kind of about to say it.
Yeah.
It's really fun.
I know. I kind of, I would have loved to at least hear part of the limerick. I think that would have been fun.
So, and then she's like, let's get back to business as usual.
Right.
And Roland is like,
room three needed a changeover. I think Johnny sent her to do that. And of course,
she's more than happy to go do it.
Right. And is out the door. I'm not even sure how far she's gotten.
She's on her way toward the door. She left her phone
on
the desk.
And of course, her phone alerts that she's gotten a message.
Right.
To which they realize that her friend has responded with an equally salacious picture.
Yeah. So, basically, I guess, like,
they both
see it. Because Roland picks up the phone, and I guess he and Johnny are just looking at a dick pic just for fun.
I'm assuming.
And notice it.
Right.
And it's another whole thing. Like, this whole thing has kind of died down. They were fine with it, but then it
then
has
of course
blown
that,
up again.
So they yell to her, and then, of course, she sees what they saw, and then she said, just so she's taking the rest of the day off.
The day off. It's really great.
Mm-hmm.
So now let's go to the kids' room. Yes. So we're still at the motel, but we're in the kids' room now. Alexis is all decked out.
Her little crushed velvet dress.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because she's going out with Ted.
Well, she needs a ride to Ted's. She's hoping David could just drop her off there on his way to Patrick's.
Because it's on the way where he says it's the opposite direction.
And then he says he's not going to Patrick's. Patrick has plans with someone else.
Yeah. So this is really nice. Like, I like this. I like the time that they get to spend together in this episode. Because they're just fun together. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times, because of everything that's going on with them and with their own separate lives, you don't see this as much as you did in the first season.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She tells him this is a terrible idea.
Right. Yeah. Because David's just like, oh, no, he's just experiencing other people to basically know how good he has it with me, right, as we mentioned earlier.
Exactly.
And Alexis is like, oh, I used to do that all the time with boys, but I would set them up with someone non-threatening. Like Pippa Middleton or Rihanna.
That's so much fun.
Yeah.
It so really is a slam against Rihanna and Pippa Middleton, which is super fun. They don't normally badmouth celebrities. Mm-hmm. This seemed a little bit, you know, a little bit rough on these two.
Yeah.
Where everybody else is just sort of name dropped in fun, goofy
scenarios. Yeah.
And she asks him what the ground rules are.
Right, like what do they set up?
Throws him into a tizzy.
Yeah.
Oh, did you also notice that when he mentions that Patrick's out, he does a thing. I know this is an audio medium. He does a thing with his mouth that Alexis does where he opens his mouth and puts his tongue up.
Mm.
And it's the meme you see all the time where she flips her hair. Mm-hmm. And I just found it funny that he does it during this, which it's like, no, that's Alexis's thing. But
they do have some of the same mannerisms.
Oh, no. Right,
which
exactly.
It's so cool that they do that because it does have that connection with them as siblings. But
I do like how she refers to him as a hottie boom body.
Yeah. Yeah. And she talks about Josh Groban has a whole book.
A leather bound binder full of ground rules.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And also, I don't know. I think Alexis might be into Kent. She refers to his $1 million smile.
Oh, maybe. Yeah. No, and I think, too, she's teasing David.
Oh, she's having so much fun with
this. She's having fun, like, literally raising his anxiety.
But also is genuinely concerned.
Right, because then she's thinking, well, maybe I shouldn't go to dinner with Ted. I was going to, but now I feel like I should stay and be here for you.
Be here for you. Because he's like, why would you stay?
Right.
And, yeah, so it's really nice that these two are just trapped in a room together and he's freaking out.
Yeah.
So now let's go to the casino, wherever we are, whatever larger town than Schitt's Creek we're in.
Dale Casino, I'm going to call it.
Oh, you are? Okay. I was going to say they didn't mention that, but okay. So Jocelyn's just having a really hard time with everything.
Well, she's stoned and at a Doodle Bops concert, so she's
things
struggling.
Aren't going well.
No. Okay. Yeah, because Moyer's even like, wait, you went in to see some of the concert?
Yeah, and she even mentions that Roland's a fan of one of them.
Oh my
gosh. I'm assuming the female Doodle Bop. There's two guys and a woman.
Okay. Yeah, I guess.
That's really weird.
Yeah.
That's really strange, but kind of funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's very stoned. I guess she's at roulette.
Yeah.
Just hanging out. Mm-hmm. Just playing odds or evens.
Right, yeah.
Black or red.
Yeah, but this is where we kind of get a little admission by her that it seems like she's having, like, this kind of midlife crisis.
Right, exactly.
You know, like, she's having just had this baby at, I guess, I don't know. I don't really know if I could even say an older age. I guess so.
I have no idea how old her character is.
Right. I mean, we've tried to calculate that a little bit. Obviously, they had met really young.
Yeah.
You know, but yeah, so I, you know, and she said inside, like, I feel like I'm 19.
Right.
But,
then I look in the mirror.
But then I look in the mirror and I'm just seeing how. And this is when I do kind of like come back around that I start to feel bad for her again. And I get why she's wanting to go out and why this night's so important to her and everything. She's just basically having almost like a little bit of a midlife crisis.
Mm-hmm.
Like I don't know what's happened to my life. And I feel like I want to go out and have fun and do fun things and act like I'm younger. But, my life is is not that way anymore.
Right. Yeah. And Moira's there to first listen to all of this and then just to offer some nice advice.
They have such a nice moment here. Yeah. When she says, like, if you love 19, you go be 19. And then she even says, you go bet on 19, right. At the roulette wheel.
Yeah. I like when she gives her chips or whatever, tokens or little coins. Yeah. And quarters or whatever. Mm-hmm. And she's like, don't, this is a lot. And she's like, it's not as much as it looks.
Yeah.
It's really nice.
And she tells her to rock onwards and upwards. Yeah. Like this moment does, bring me back to feeling a little more love for Jocelyn, lost in the beginning when she was just over the top.
And I noticed that you were looking at your notes or taking notes at the end of this, but it's a nice Jocelyn moment where she raises both of her arms up in the air and I guess like feigns excitement. I'm not really sure what she's doing. She's probably just pretty stoned still, but it is just like a fun like physical moment.
Yeah.
So now let's go back to the motel
office again.
Office. Yes.
Still Stevie and Johnny.
Yes, because Stevie comes in and she thought Johnny had already left. And they just really have a nice, like, let's just put this day behind us.
Yeah, like, she's like, can we just pretend this today just didn't even happen? Right.
Yes. And it's really nice because Johnny's like, listen, it's all behind us, done. But I just want to say, I hope everything works out with you.
Yeah, I'm glad things are going well. I hope that this person is making you happy and everything. It's kind of sweet that we just went from, like, this Moira kind of, like, being motherly to Jocelyn. Exactly. And now we go to Johnny, of course, being, fatherly to Stevie. Yeah. Yeah. But, yeah, he says, I just hope things are going well. And she then gives admits to him that this is Amir. Remember Amir? Like, this is who it is.
Yep.
To which Johnny says, well, clearly it looks like he really likes you. And not just because of the photo, which then, of course, circles it back to that. And Stevie is then horrified again.
Yeah. I like his joke about how clearly Amir has good taste in hotels. Like,
yeah.
It's really nice and very funny. So it really does, like, it's, there are a few jokes and stuff like that in there, but it just ends with, like, let's just, this doesn't need to be anything referenced anymore in the show ever.
Yeah.
Let's just move on with everything. And that's nice.
Yeah. And I do, I feel like Johnny doesn't always get, there's so many things are always revolved around the kids, Moira. And I feel like Johnny's storylines don't always feel as much of interest to us sometimes.
Right.
And I feel like his storylines always seem to take a back seat to to everyone else's. Like, certainly the Christmas episode, that was one where he really like, that was a Johnny-centric episode. But I really have to say, the relationship that he, and the bond that he and Stevie start to form
I think pairing,
I always love it.
Again, from a writing standpoint, pairing him with Stevie is great for his character and his little storylines. Like you said, like, the makeup thing was great.
Yeah.
This is really great.
Yeah.
We'll talk more about the hopsies when we get there. But it's really smart because they wanted to, I guess, and he still does, like, play off of Roland. Like, like, that's how this show started the first few seasons.
Right.
It was like anything that was funny was he and Roland.
Mm-hmm. And Bob.
They threw him in Bob's garage for an episode or two.
Yeah.
But this really works out well.
Yeah. And I think he kind of struggles to be fatherly to his kids. I don't want to say he struggles, but I feel like they kind of struggle with it more. They sort, because it's not what they've had, growing up, they didn't have motherly and fatherly kind of figures in their own parents. I feel like this is sort of like almost like a little bit of a new start to him to be able to be a father figure her.
Think about how he interacts with his kids. Think about that fake job interview that he did with David how he wrote Alexis's paper for her.
Like,
this is nothing that he would do to Stevie.
Uh-huh.
And it just seems more genuine. And it seems like something that Stevie needs, where strangely enough, a lot of times his own kids don't need that.
Right.
They're very self-sufficient. Not that Stevie isn't, but whatever.
Yep.
So now it is nighttime.
Yes. And we're back at the bus.
Right.
They're pretty much ready to go. They're like waiting to load up and everything, but there's no Jocelyn.
Nope, Jocelyn is gone. Mm-hmm. They're talking about Bucky's Fried Chicken House and how the menu was disgusting.
Yeah, everything had chicken, even the Black Forest chicken.
Black Forest tenders. Ew. It sounds so super disgusting. Gross. It reminded me of when my mother was at, what was that restaurant chain?
Should we not badmouth restaurants on here? Is that okay? We can do that.
I mean, if Friendly's wants to sponsor us, we'll cut this out.
Okay.
But my mom found a piece of raw chicken at the bottom of a Friendly Sunday and then got food poisoning from it.
Don't go to Friendly's, people.
And don't go to Bucky's, whatever, Chicken Shack or whatever.
Well, I mean, they just said it didn't taste good. They didn't say it was,
That seems like chicken tenders meshed with...
But that doesn't mean you'll get food poisoning from it. It's just undesirable.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, but you kind of left out the best part of that story too. I mean, obviously,
I'm sorry. What
wasn't
was
good
it?
That she got sick and got food poisoning. But when we then later on drove past her Friendly's and they had a sign out front that said "Free Sunday with Chicken Choices," right. Meaning if you got a chicken dish on the menu, you got a free Sunday. But of course, it had a whole different
meaning.
We're
reading it very differently.
Yes,
I thought you might have missed something from this moment in the episode.
No. Yeah. So avoid Friendly's.
Everybody's
at all costs.
Everybody's had an evening. Like they're all done with this. They weren't that excited to begin with, and now Jocelyn is holding them up because she got a haircut?
Yeah, I guess
Question mark?
I don't know. At casinos, they pretty much have everything. So I'm sure there's a little, like, salon.
No, I know. It seems like she had some winnings.
Yeah.
I'm assuming from number 19.
Number 19.
And she spent that on a haircut or a wig placement. Like, this looks ridiculous. She keeps talking about how short it is. I'm like, this doesn't seem any shorter.
No, it was shorter.
Okay.
Yeah. It was shorter and bigger, I'd probably say.
How is that possible?
Like,
how can it be
shorter and bigger?
Oh, no.
Stuck out more.
I know
when
what
it was
you're
longer,
saying. It's not as flat as it was before.
I don't know. Whatever it is, it's not flattering.
It's wild.
Yeah.
And she
seems
unsure.
But I think it
unsure.
Makes her feel 19. It makes her feel young again.
For a brief moment in this episode.
Yeah.
Well, she's excited. Kind
of. I think so.
But they're all ready to go. Let's get on this bus.
Right.
Let's get out of
here.
So now let's go back to the kids' room where Alexis is on the phone with Ted and really like going back and forth between rubbing this relationship in David's face by being like, I love you too. Yeah. And also kind of laughing about this.
Well, Ted. She's also filling him in like, you know what? I'm going to be there soon for dinner. I just need to be here for David. Mm-hmm. And then you only hear her side of the conversation. But she's like, yeah, they went at 7 and he hasn't heard anything yet. It's been like radio silence.
Yeah.
I
love just hearing her in because then she laughs and she's like, yeah, could you even imagine?
Yeah.
Like, it's really fun.
Yeah.
But then after she gets off the phone, she has a real heart-to-heart with him. Because it seems like David's just pacing around. Like, he has lost it by this point.
Mm-hmm.
He's barely hanging on. And,
and then she's like, do you know? Like, are you thinking that they're just at his house? Right. Like, listening to... Who did she say? Some kind of muse.
I forget
artist.
What she says.
Somebody
and she's like, rehydrating.
Yeah, rehydrating and everything. And they say, like, this is a classic case of self-sabotage.
Yes.
You know? And Alexis say, no, this is a lot of growth for you. You know, was it flawlessly executed? And she's like, no.
Right.
Would I have done the same thing? No.
Right. Which, again, I think she's trying to make him feel better.
Right. But not really.
About a really dumb thing he did.
Yeah.
But she does sit him down and she says, like, if a cute guy who wandered into the store once is enough to unravel this relationship, it's best that you know now than like a year from now or something
and
like that.
Maybe that was his goal.
Yeah.
You know,
maybe.
He referenced 5 years down the line. Like,
right.
Maybe he's like, well, if it's not going to go well, let's just, you know, this is probably the longest relationship he's ever had. So,
sure.
Yeah, it probably is a little bit of his own sabotage because he just doesn't even know how to handle it.
But this is interrupted.
Yes.
Because Patrick does show up.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. He wasn't doing this on purpose, right? Like, making David squirm?
I don't think so. Like, as much as I know sometimes just, we don't love how Patrick treats David, I don't think it was purposeful. Because if it was purposeful, I feel like he would have gone through with it if he really wanted to kind of like teach him a lesson, or he would have
said something or made a joke or something like that, which he doesn't. So I really think it was like the time spent was him really considering this, like, should I do it? Should I not? Blah, blah, blah. But he came to the conclusion that he didn't call him.
Yeah, he couldn't do it.
Yeah.
And Alexis said, was it because of the lack of ground rules? But then they just said it was because of his weird shoes.
Yeah.
His weird, long, pointy shoes that had a squared off toe.
Yes. A very long hug between the two of them. Mm-hmm. And he breaks this hug to be like, and another thing was his shoes. And David completely understands they're on the same wavelength with these shoes. So now let's close out the episode on a bus with Jocelyn reconsidering this haircut.
Listening to Poison. Every rose has its thorn.
Yeah. Bringing out all the hits for this episode.
Yeah.
That's it? Are we done?
Yeah.
Are we done talking about it?
Well, and she was looking in a little mirror at her hair. Yeah, a little compact. Almost trying to like talk herself into it a little bit.
Right.
It's
a real like, you guys like this, right?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, kind of wanting reassurance and this was fun and everything. And Moira kind of says, you should never regret having a good time.
Yes.
And then that's kind of how it ends.
Yeah. And that's how the episode ends.
Yes.
Wow. This is so great.
So at the end of every episode, we do our best to rank the Schitt's Creek episodes from the best of the best to the least best of the best. So, Carla, if this episode were a concert, would it be more of a Poison concert or a Doodle Bugs?
Oh.
And you already said they're the kind of the same.
It's the Doodle Bops.
Doodle Bops, Doodle Bugs, whatever.
Yeah, got it straight.
I will show
Twin
you.
Twin Peaks or Schitt's Creek?
Twin Peaks, Schitt's Creek. My pairing Twin Peaks and Schitt's Creek characters is not having the overwhelming impact that I assumed.
That's because some people, like,
I know.
I don't know how many people know Twin Peaks very well.
Yeah.
Like,
and I think I'm giving it way more thought than I actually
I know,
need
but it's
to.
Kind of fun. I do. I don't know Twin Peaks well. We kind of started watching it and then never.
I don't think we got past the first two episodes together.
I don't remember how many episodes we watched. The Little Man in the Red Room was kind of like, I don't know about this.
It's the best part of the show is that weird stuff.
Yeah.
All right.
So, but I wasn't not willing to watch it. But yeah, we didn't get far. So even though I don't know the characters, I still kind of enjoy. And I do feel like if people are familiar with Twin Peaks, I feel like just looking at them, I'm like, oh yeah, these kind of make sense. They look good. Like they seem to have a reference point.
You're like, and this is a human, and so is this.
Well,
so
no,
I know
some
what
of
you're
the
saying.
Few characters that I know, right, I look right. and I'm like, yeah, that seems like that's probably a good match.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Okay, well, thank you.
I don't know. I'm torn with this episode. I think the whole Poison thing and Jocelyn.
Yeah.
I have a little bit of trouble like getting past that. But it's also like outrageous and fun. And I know it's meant to be outrageous and fun. Like that's the whole purpose of it. But it's not one of my favorites.
Sure.
I wouldn't say that. Even like, and the whole David Patrick thing, I think is kind of silly. Like, why would you ever send, someone you're in a relationship with and encourage them to go out with someone else?
So
I almost feel like I can kind of say the Stevie Johnny part is probably the highlight of this episode for me.
It's easily the best part of this episode.
But again, I think I can't touch the screen. This is so confusing.
Two fingers.
Oh.
Two.
But then I look and Surprise Party, that's such a fun episode. And Driving Test, that's such a great one. And It really is just starting to get harder and harder to put things in
order.
Why
are you comparing this episode that you don't like to episodes that you do?
Well, but then, I'm looking to kind of see, seems kind of far down. But then I'm like, but no, that's such a good episode. Like, it would have to go further than that. And I don't know. I'm going to put this. And then I look and I'm like, oh, Murder Mystery. Why is it so low? But, I don't like ranking these.
It's too late. We're
in too
deep.
It's very stressful. I'm going to put this down as my new number. Oh my gosh, I just don't know.
I like how serious you take this. I mean, I know at times I've referred to this as the definitive rankings.
It's not. I know, but I don't know. And I know some people are like, oh my gosh, the part with Jocelyn's so great. And then, I don't know, then I'm like, oh, well, maybe they're right. Maybe it is great. I'm going to put it down at my new number 45. I'm done. I'm committing to that. I just don't love this episode.
I would never put this, what we do here on YouTube, but just people watching your face while you're trying to figure this out.
That part stresses me out the most.
I
besides
know it does.
Trying to take notes and the fast talking, like we said, it seems like recently.
I know.
I don't know, because it's really hard. Like I said, I'm looking at things that are further down, and I'm like, oh, why is that so far down? That's such a great episode, and I think that's what's hard. All the episodes are great.
I think that, I mean,
it becomes very difficult right. When you want to put something lower, like, yeah, it's really hard. And I feel like we've had so many great higher episodes. I have not gone that low in a really long time.
No, you haven't.
And that's why it feels hard to do that, I guess.
Yeah. I agree with everything you said. This is kind of like a middle of the road episode. I'm putting it at my number 28.
Oh, okay.
I think upon rewatch this time around, I think I enjoyed the Jocelyn stuff a little more than I did. Because, again, when I knew what episode this was, I was like, oh, it's all about a Poison concert.
Uh-huh.
But it's not really.
Yeah.
It's about Jocelyn as a character, as a person.
Right.
And the Johnny stuff, like I said, I kind of forgot that that was part of the same episode. That's really great.
Yeah.
And while the Patrick and David stuff is weird, I said while we were sort of talking about the episode, I really enjoy the David Alexis part of this episode.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that even moved it a little bit higher. But as you said, like the main storyline, the Poison thing, not a huge fan of that. So that's why it's sitting here right in the middle.
Okay.
I mean, one thing I say all the time is, please let us know if you agree, completely
other people,
disagree.
This might be one of their faves.
Yeah. No, I heard from a listener that said that he likes the later seasons way more than the early ones.
Hmm.
And he, you know, I mean, we do our rankings, but he's like, I can definitely tell you guys like the early stuff way more than this later
and
stuff,
And I do think it has such a different feel than how it started.
Yeah.
You know, definitely. And just, and I don't know if it's.
But I also know that there were a lot of people where it took them time to come around on the show.
Whereas it didn't take us time. We watched that first episode and I was like, yep,
moment one, they got me. This is fantastic.
Yeah.
So let us know. Let us know your thoughts of this episode. Let us know your thoughts on Jocelyn.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to hear. A lot of people do tend to agree with us about how the character changed and how they're not crazy.
And maybe that's another reason why this one just doesn't speak to me, because I don't necessarily love the change to her character.
Yeah.
But again, I think it's something that they're portraying like realistic things that happen to you.
Sure.
You know, like you do get to the point where when you hit that like midlife and you miss the things you did when you were younger. So, you know, I also think it's a realistic thing that, you know, people go through when they kind of hit midlife, and she's also, you know, struggling with like being back in motherhood and an infant and everything. So, you know, it kind of compounded that. But I do kind of miss when she was like a teacher and she was in her classroom, and you got that glimpse of her life as, you know, as her work and everything like that. Like all that has kind of like if you watched it now and just picked up, you wouldn't even know she was ever a teacher. There's literally not a mention of that. And you know, there's not even a mention of like, oh, I'm on maternity from school or maternity leave or anything. Like, it just, did she quit? Did she, like, whatever happened to her profession?
And I saw some great behind the scenes photos that one of Jocelyn's students posted of the whole class Jocelyn just like, you know.
That's great.
Yeah, it's really fun.
So, and maybe that's just, I just maybe have more trouble with her because I just don't love the arc for her character. Like most everybody else, you see such great growth too. And I feel like you don't see that as much for her. Yeah. She seems to almost go the other way.
Yeah.
And yeah, maybe that's why I just struggle more.
Don't like hair bands. Oh, well, yeah, so too. I think that was a huge turn off.
I think that hasn't had an impact. Yeah.
All right.
On that note.
This is our...
longest
what
episode
a crazy
ever.
Episode to be our longest episode ever, but it is. So everybody, thanks for listening again.
God bless
the show.
You.
All this stuff we say every time or forget to say, but we will come back to you in 2 weeks' time when we talk about the 7th episode. Hey, we'll be halfway through season 5.
Yeah.
7th episode of season 5, A Whisper of Desire.
Whisper of Desire. I feel like you have to say it with a, like a jazzy gals kind of tone too.
So until that time, everybody, have a great 2 weeks.
Warmest regards.